It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning, KSL News Time now, 5:30.
It's 72 degrees.
Traffic running smooth on our freeways for the most part. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
KSL's Tom Story this hour.
The University of Utah is addressing the death of University of Utah football player Aaron Lowe.
There is a deep sadness in our university community.
And this morning, we are hearing an emotional plea from Aaron Lowe's mother. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards begins our live team coverage at the U of U. Mary?
Yeah, Amanda, and here is Aaron Lowe's mother, Donna Lowe Stern, speaking to KSL TV.
If you know anything, anything about the people that did this to my child, please come forward and say something.
She says she raised a good child who wasn't a troublemaker. He did not fight or argue, but he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Salt Lake City police say they are following up on all the tips they are receiving, but they need more people to come forward who know something about what happened at that house party in Sugar House. The woman also injured in the shooting is still in the hospital this morning. Live, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
A meeting for the black community within the University of Utah was held last night to grieve the shooting death of Aaron Lowe. KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly continues our team coverage and joins us live. Heather?
Well, Tim, the Journey Towards Healing event included some university administrators and the Salt Lake Police Chief Mike Brown. President Taylor Randall opened the meeting.
There is a deep sadness in our university community.
And the professor who taught Lowe in two classes asked President Randall to specify how he plans to support the black community on campus. Randall says he needs to learn more and understand where others come from. And the vice president of student affairs says the U will improve mental health services for students who are people of color. Live, Heather Kelly, KSL News Radio.
Police in South Jordan are investigating a shooting that led to a head-on traffic accident. Darren King's wife was driving one of the vehicles.
Got a call from my daughter saying we were just involved in a head-on collision, and the person who hit us was shot.
Police say they're trying to find out where the shooting took place, as well as discover what led to the shooting. The woman who was shot was rushed to the hospital for surgery. Her injuries were not believed to be life-threatening.
Moab City has confirmed that their police chief is currently taking a leave of absence. Chief Brett Edge took leave under the Federal Family Medical Leave Act effective immediately, and no details have been released as to why. Last week, Moab City announced it was launching an investigation into the police department's handling of a dispute between Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie.
KSL's top national stories this hour. 12% of people in a new poll say they will not get a COVID-19 vaccine under any circumstance. But ABC's Brian Clark says the rest of the poll shows more people are rolling up their sleeves.
Roughly 7 in 10 people surveyed in a new Kaiser Family Foundation poll say they've gotten at least a dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. More than a third of those who recently got a shot say the increase in cases due to the Delta variant drove their decision. Even though the vaccines are free, uninsured people under 65 made up the lowest percentage of the vaccinated. 58% of Republicans in the poll said they've gotten a shot. The gap, though, between different racial groups is closed. Roughly the same percentage of white, black, and Hispanic adults all say they've gotten a shot. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Federal transportation investigators in Montana say they're looking for clues at the site of that deadly Amtrak train derailment. ABC News Chief National Correspondent Matt Gutman is there at the scene.
What I'm seeing right now is a tremendous number of earth movers, diggers, cranes working feverishly to try to clear this track and fix it and ensure that the dozens and dozens of other trains that are waiting, most of them carrying grain from the heartland to the coast, can resume traveling along this track. Right next to them are those rail cars that flipped over the tracks onto their sides, and they're just lying there.
Three people were killed, more than 50 were injured when 8 of those trains' cars went off the tracks on Saturday.
Hey, so weather now with Grant Wayman. Some politicians have blamed recent wildfires in California on climate change. But Grant says wildfires are nothing new.
As it turns out, our country has a long history of fires, some of them very devastating. And boy, some of these going back well over 100 years ago, well over the time when global warming was even a topic. The Thumb Fire in Michigan, 1881, stands as one of the worst wildfires in history. And keep in mind, this is in what is normally considered a wet area, Michigan. 282 people killed, abnormally dry weather the cause of that fire, over 1 million acres burned.
Grant says there are other examples of devastating wildfires in normally wet areas from over 100 years ago as well.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.